Joining me on the line is a lady by the name of Fatima Sidat. She is the developmental manager at SADAG, which is the South African Depression and Anxiety Group. Welcome to Impact 103's Afternoon Drive, Fatima.
Hi, good evening. How are you?
I'm great. I'm looking forward to this discussion as we are talking about children and how there might be some drawbacks or some benefits for using Ritalin. I think you are the best person to be talking about this because I'm sure you have seen benefits and you've also seen drawbacks when children use Ritalin for attention or for behavioral changes or challenges, that is. Can you explain the primary benefits and the drawbacks?
So basically, there's, you know, we have to look at many things to put everything into perspective. When you're looking at a child, you need to see the age of a child. What are some of the key symptoms the child has? How could we work? So when we encourage for parents to be to have their children put on treatment, it's usually first to see all the alternatives and see how we can amend the environment before we can put them on anything. So what happens is with Ritalin, yes, it does help you focus. It's also, when I've learned this from one of the psychiatrists, it's a short-acting medication. So it lasts for about maybe 4 to 6 hours. So you have this, you'll take your Ritalin, it works for 4 to 6 hours and then it drops, in comparison to the other ADHD medication that goes, it works continuously throughout the day. So that sort of is a positive in terms of, you know, medication working on a child. But if you look at the impact it may have on a child, is that maybe, you know, over time, your body becomes immune with it, and then you'll have to take bigger doses. So you also want to see and monitor how the medication works. So it's very complicated, but I think if you are paired up with the right psychiatrist and psychologist, and you work together with an educational psychologist and the teacher, so you look at a holistic point, it becomes easier for you to go through, you know, to put together a good treatment plan for your child, but also to create a good environment for your child, which is even more important than anything else.
Fatima, in your experience, what factors should parents consider before starting their child on Ritalin?
I think it's so important that when you look at your child, you see the impact the child's having on their day-to-day activities. So if they are struggling in tremendously, and I think also people misconstrue between between a child that's just has ADHD, and then you have a child that has conduct disorder, which could be very different, and then you have a child that's just a child. And sometimes we feel that the child that's just being the child, that's playing around, that's a bit more naughtier, we think that they may have something. But maybe it's the smallest thing. Maybe it may be an environmental factor that's contributing to their behavior. So it's always good to first start off with seeing an educational psychologist, consulting with even a clinical psychologist, getting the right diagnosis and getting the right types of, you know, the symptoms, right, with this, when you are sharing the information with a psychologist, a psychiatrist, is important. So my thing is, when you start off and you're seeing there's a change in behavior, or you're seeing that your child is struggling, or you see that your child can't complete tasks, I think that's when you sit down and maybe go onto the webs on the internet, go onto a website like Mayo Clinic or you know, something that's reputable as well. Take the symptoms from there and then cross-check it with what your child has. And if you see that these are the symptoms that they have and it has a huge impact on their day-to-day functioning, then yes, go to see a psychologist or a psychiatrist, get the right diagnosis, and then start a good treatment for them.
Fatima, when does a diagnosis feel necessary, and when do you think it might be more of a pacifier for managing classroom behavior?
I think I've partly answered that in the answer before this. So I'm just going to say that, yes, there could be many things that happens to our children. They're so sensitive. And at a young age, they do pick up different cues from the environment. So, for instance, if they are exposed to some sort of abuse or some sort of, neglect, they act out in certain ways. So we need to find out what is the cause of what's going on with your child before we can take them further. And that's something that you have to dig in deep, or you have to go to visit a psychologist or psychiatrist to then learn more about the child and what's happening with them. So for me, the biggest cue is when they are struggling with their schoolwork. When they unable to focus, or they get bored easily, or they sort of zone out. So a lot of times you see children with ADHD, they do fixate on something that may sort of distract them from what they're supposed to be listening to. So a teacher could be in the classroom teaching them something new, and this child sees something outside the window. And instead of being focused on the teacher, their complete focus shifts and looks outside, and that's what keeps them fixated for a bit. When you see that type of symptoms, it is important to get some sort of help.
Fatima, how can teachers and how can parents collaborate together to assess whether Ritalin is, in fact, the right choice for their child?
It's a very interesting question. And I think with or without Ritalin, there are many things that parents and teachers can collaborate, work together, and change some of the environments that the child is in. So when we look at, there are certain things you can adapt the classroom to for the learners that have ADHD. And that would be your first point of entry. So looking at things like, limiting the visual distractions, or even noise, for instance. So small things like that trigger them, and they then lose focus on what they're supposed to be listening to. That could be one thing. Another thing is trying to make use visual aids to then gain their attention. So making things more colorful for them, using pictures, videos, charts, be more creative. And I think in this day and age, our society has become very short attention span, where even the child that does not have ADHD loses focus very quickly. And these type of things could be integrated into a classroom, not only for a child with ADHD, but also for the other children, so we can attract more of their attention. Even seating, making sure they feel comfortable in where they sit, making sure that they're sitting in a place where they can't be distracted easily. When doing exams, some children they struggle with written exams. However, if they do verbal exams, they do extremely well. So those small little things do count. And also trying to integrate things like, breakdown of tasks. So instead of giving them a complete task, you break it down and then you give them clear, distinct instructions so that they catch on it and they can work on it. Also, note-taking strategies is important for them. So there's a whole lot of things that they can integrate into the classroom to make things easier for the learner. And when that doesn't work, then I say, yes, go and take your child to a psychiatrist and maybe see if maybe they need medication, and then put them onto it.
Fatima, I really like what you're saying, because you're not saying fix the situation with medication. You're saying assess, collaborate, work with teachers and parents, and use different methods to see and pinpoint if Ritalin or medication is actually the right choice for a child. It is a journey. It's not something that you're going to fix overnight. It's something that you need to assess over time. And
I think it's so important because I, as a person, and this is my history, I had a journey with ADHD. So initially I was fine in school, like primary school and stuff. But as I got older, I started seeing those, like I used to struggle a lot. And if I needed, like I wasn't put on medication initially just because it wasn't necessary, but learning to adjust myself helped me through schooling. With university, it was a bit more tough because it's all about self-study and self-learning. So again, I learned to adapt myself. So it was using it when I needed to, not using Ritalin when I didn't need it. Till today, that's what I do, is the days that I have to focus or I'm struggling, I do take a Ritalin, and it helps me through my process. But again, it's about learning about yourself, and each individual is so different. And if you look at the younger children, they're so young, firstly, to put them on medication, secondly, to sort of, you know, expect them just to change and adjust that quickly. So it's a journey. It takes time, and it takes a lot of adjustments within the household, within the classroom. And when all of that happens, then only you'll be able to maybe help the child focus better and, you know, do better in everything that they are involved in. So it's like you said, and I love the way you summed it up, it's a process. And it's, again, a change and adaptation to the situation, which is important.
Fatima, I really appreciate you bringing in your personal experience with this. And I think it's really made parents listen even closer now to this discussion, because it's also about listening to your child. Maybe your child has been on this Ritalin medication, for example, or maybe some other medication, and they feel that they no longer need to be on it because they can see that there are improvements or they are coping better as they get older.
Very true. And again, it's about your lifestyle changes. So what you do is you integrate a good balanced diet. You make sure that you take your omega-3s. You try and exercise regularly. You get adequate sleep, which is so important across everything. Sleep is the most important thing. Also, doing little things to help you organize yourself better, because trust me, I'm one of those persons that I'm trying to be organized in my disorganized mind, because I get distracted so quickly. So I have a to-do list on a daily basis. I tick through things that I am doing. Learning ways of being more mindful of... So mindfulness helps a lot as well, because when you integrate mindfulness into whatever you do, you have to be present in your activity that you're doing, which also helps you. And again, people with ADHD or the diagnosis of ADHD, their attention span so small, but they are creatives. And I think they can use their mind to very good, like to do a lot of things, but differently from others. So we learn how to adapt very quickly. It's just, we need that guidance and support that helps us through the process of being more effective in our day-to-day functioning.
Fatima, one last question, because I see parents are sending through WhatsApp saying, thank you so much for this interview and this discussion on Ritalin. What word of encouragement can you offer to parents starting on this journey?
I think the most important thing is learn more about ADHD, read more about it. The more we educate ourselves, the better we understand, the better we can help our children then cope with it. Second thing is collaborate with teachers and educators and try and put together a program for your child. There are also specific schools that deal with children with ADHD. So sometimes if it's not working for you, rather take them to a place where there's smaller classrooms, there's individualized educators that spend time with your child. it's easier, it's better, it helps you, it helps the child as well. And the third thing is, remember, lifestyle changes are also important. So try and integrate the most important things like your diet, your exercise, your sleep, and making sure that you sort of try and organize and manage better. So even if it's, for instance, you have a child that's really messy in the morning, try and prep them. So you have all this stuff out for them, and so you sort of involve them in preparing for the next day. So they take out their shoes, they take out their clothes, everything. So in the morning, it becomes easier for them because they know what they need to do. So small things and small adjustments helps a lot. And then if there's a need, medication is there, but it's not the only thing. Try alternatives before you get there, especially if they're very young.
Try alternatives, especially if they are very young, is just one of the many suggestions and recommendations that Fatima Sidat, who is the developmental manager at SADAG, has shared with us today. Thank you so much for your time on Impact 103's Afternoon Drive.
Thank you for having me. Bye.